So we continue today in Siman Ayin Hey. The Shulchan Aruch writes, we're beginning today in the Ramah in Sif Aleph. So the Shulchan Aruch writes, Hagav Yesh Omrim Davka B'Ishto. So some say the idea that the tefach of uncovered part of the body, and a part of the body that's normally covered, that represents erva, is Davka Dine, one's wife. Ava B'Isha Acheres Afilu Pachos Mitefach Chave Erva. But for another woman, in other words, a woman who's not one's wife, then Halacha L'Maisi, even less than a tefach of a part of the body that's normally covered but is now exposed, will still represent an erva. However, he says, "Umenira medivei harosh, the tefach beisha erva afilo liisha acheres, rak shebeatzma yichola likros." However, again, from the words of the Rush, it appears that the shear of tefach bi'isha erva, that the idea ultimately, again, that a tefach of exposed part of the body represents erva, is a din not only in one's wife, but even with another woman. And indeed, that's how the Rush paskins, and that seems to be the idea over here, that shear applies both by one's wife as well as by someone else. Now, interestingly enough, the Ramah adds in over here that a woman herself could recite Shema while she's naked. And of course, the logic behind that is, as we saw a few days ago, because on a woman, anatomically, the erva is not exposed, at least when she's standing. And when she's sitting, it's covered as well. If you look at the Mishnah Berurah, it says in Sif Ka in Ches Medivrei HaRash, Aval Rashba Cholek Al Zeh. The Rashba disagrees. V'tamo desvir le'dichi hechi deba atzmi yicholo likros kishi aruma. Alma de'in bigilui kol gufa mishum v'lo yirabacha ervas davar. Ela la'anoshim u'mishum hirhur. Kein af isha acheres mutares likros. I'm sorry, Mutaris Likros. Now, what the Mishnah Berurah is commenting on over here is the following. That from the Rush quoted in the Ramah, he says that the din of Tefach Be'isha Erva is a din not just from a woman to a man, but even from one woman to another. Even from one woman to another. That's the din of the Rush. So therefore, for example, if a woman was in front of another unclothed woman whose erva was visible, she would not be permitted to recite Shema. The Rashba argues on this, and the Rashba explains that the idea of erva is hirhur, is that it will create impure thoughts. Therefore, by definition, this is only a din for a man who is able to see an exposed woman. So the Mishnah Berurah says that the Achronim agree with the Rashba, and therefore, again, technically speaking, the din of Tefach Be'isha Erva only applies from one woman to a man, but does not apply between two women. Let's see Sif Beis. Seir shal isha shadarka lechasoso, asr likros kenegdo. So again, a hair of a woman that's normally covered, meaning parts of the hair that are normally covered, if they are uncovered, then one is not permitted to recite Kriya Shema in front of uncovered hair. Haga, the Ramah says, afilu ishto. This is true even concerning one's wife. Ava b'sulos, shedarkan lelech peruos harosh mutter. But unmarried women who normally walk around with uncovered hair, so again, their hair does not represent erva. Therefore, one could recite Shema in the presence of their uncovered hair. Hago, the Ramah writes, "V'hu adin ha-sa'aros shal-noshim sherigilin lotzeis michutz litzimton." So this also applies to the hairs, like the flyaway hairs that come out of like the hair covering over, meaning even if a woman covers her hair, it's quite possible that there are stray hairs that come out. So the stray hairs that come out, says the Ramah, essentially have the din of like the uncovered hair of an unmarried woman, meaning that the same way that the uncovered hair of an unmarried woman is not erva, is not considered to be nakedness, so too, again, hair that normally just creeps out kind of out of the hair covering is also not considered to be erva. He goes on, V'chol shekein se'ar nochris afilu darko lechasos. And of course, this goes without saying that this would also be true with the hair of a non-Jewish woman. It's actually interesting. He says, "Ser nachris." Mishnah Berurah says, "Kari nachris la ser shenechtach ve'inu davak libsaro." Sfirle da alzeh lo amru chazal ser beisha erva ve'gamuto legalosa ve'im b'sha mishum pruas rosh. So this is interesting. He's actually talking about not hair of a non-Jewish woman, but rather again a wig. So too again a wig also does not have the din of hair, because once by definition it's not attached to the body, therefore by definition it's considered to be separate and distinct. This is interesting. The Mishnah Berurah comments on this. He says this is actually in Sif Tes Vav. The Ishcholkin va'omrim the af bepei anachris shayach ser b'ishe erva va'aser priyas rosh the kaser prima gadin demedinos shiotzim anoshem pei anachris megula yesh lam lismoch al shulchan aruch umashma minei sham. So what's interesting is a sheitel or a wig seems to be dependent on minhag ha-makom. So there were communities where this was an acceptable form of a woman covering her hair, and therefore again, even though it's visible hair, and interesting enough, it appears to me that in some communities what would happen is a woman would cut her own hair and fashion a sheitel from her own hair, a wig from her own hair. So again, there are those who are mekel and say once the hair is detached from her body, it's no longer her hair, and therefore there's not a din of seyar b'isha erva. The kasavot sham di'im kain di'im minag ha-makom she'elchu noshem pe'am achris b'vadei ha-din ha-machmir ha-bazeh mishamar ha-sahayin. So others explain that if the minag of the place is that the women don't wear wigs, they don't wear sheitels, then for a woman to go ahead and wear a sheitel would be a din marasayin, because people might not realize that she's wearing a wig. They might assume that it's just her regular hair. And therefore, again, marasayin means one is not permitted to engage in behaviors that, although are technically permitted, have the appearance of being illegal or inappropriate. So let's go back a little bit. So the Mishnah Berurah writes over here. The Mishnah Berurah writes over here in Sif Katan Yud. He says, Shedarka lechasosa Yud. Va'afilu im in darka lechasosa rak b'shuk v'lo b'bayisu b'chatzar. Mikol makom b'chlal erba hi l'chuli ama afilu b'bayis. Va'asr sham likros negda im niska l'ketzas mehen. So remember, again, the idea over here is that any hair that's normally covered, even if it's one's wife, one is not permitted to recite Kriya Shema in front of uncovered hair. Now this is true, let's say a married woman who's only covering her hair outside the house, but not inside the house, that still has the status of erva, even though it's inside the house. V'da'od, da'afilum derech isha zu v'chavro seba osamakum lelech b'gilerosh b'shok, k'derech ha'prutzos aser. Ukimol inyin gilui shoka, da'aser b'chol gabni v'chaniska leo b'siv katan beiz. K'ivan shetzvichos d'chasos asaros mitzad hadin. V'gam kol b'no v'stram achzikos. So this is actually very interesting. So the Mishnah Berurah points out, and this is actually quite fascinating, that Mishnah Berurah points out that even if the predominant, won't call it custom, but we'll call it behavior, is that women don't cover their hair. Now, nevertheless, hair still has a status of erva. What the Mishnah Berurah is pointing out over here is that there are certain things that are halachically categorized as erva that do not change, even if societal behaviors change. So remember, we saw this. For example, the Mishnah Berurah said it's like the thigh. The thigh of a woman is considered to be erva. So that even if it's a place where every single woman wears short skirts, so it doesn't change the fact that it's still an erva. So the Mishnah Berurah says the same idea with hair. Hair is considered an erva whether or not the woman chooses to cover it. So even in communities where, let's say, the majority of women are not covering their hair, hair still has the status of erva, and therefore, by definition, one should not recite Kriya Shema ultimately, again, in its presence, in the presence of uncovered hair. Now, it's actually, just to point out, the Aruch HaShulchan actually argues on this point. And the Aruch HaShulchan says that today, since many women do not cover their hair, therefore the Aruch HaShulchan suggests that perhaps hair doesn't have the same status as erva, and perhaps one could actually recite Kriya Shema even in front of uncovered hair. At most, what the Aruch HaShulchan is trying to do is provide some type of kula for those who find themselves in these types of situations, in no way condoning a lechatchila approach, but perhaps just a bidyeved. It would appear to be that the fundamental machlokes is on the nature of the definition of erva. What constitutes, or ultimately again, what creates the definition of an erva? Is it subjective, or is it societally subjective, or is it simply an objective definition? That seems to be at the core, at the root of this particular machlokes. So therefore, the Shulchan Aruch tells us again that hair that a woman normally covers, one cannot recite Kriya Shema in front of uncovered hair, even in front of his wife's uncovered hair. However, again, for not unmarried woman where the hair is not erva, then ultimately, again, one is permitted to recite Kriya Shema when it comes to wigs. So whether or not the wigs are considered to be uncovered hair or erva depends on the minhag ha-makom. If the minhag ha-makom ultimately is that women wear wigs, then again, the wig does not constitute the erva. But if the women do not normally wear wigs, then even a wig could ultimately, for Kriya Shema purposes, be considered erva. So we will stop over here. Beis Hashem will pick up on Sunday with Sif Gimel. Wishing everyone a wonderful day.